Hello, everyone. Just give me a little thumbs up that you can hear me. So nice to see some great familiar faces and some new ones. Welcome to today's 60-minute somatic intelligent workshop. And I'm just going to sit quietly for a moment so that we can all just gather our presence and while at the same time giving a few people a little extra time to come on, but we'll all just sit together and ground. As we allow ourselves to land in our classroom, just begin to sense your own soma, your own mind, body, nervous system. Exploring and sensing without any kind of judgment at all. Just sort of checking in. Releasing the urge to shift or change anything, even if it's uncomfortable. Instead, we just begin to relax into ourselves, into our own somas, and allow ourselves to just become present. And sometimes that may take a few moments. We're all coming from a certain momentum of the day. So we can never force ourselves to relax. That often backfires. We instead just begin to sense what's here. And when we're sensing, we're literally in a different part of the brain. We're more in the back brain, out of that frontal lobe. Allow yourself to just connect a little bit more in the back brain. And as you do this, just notice how that feels. Sensing where gravity falls. Sensing how gravity shapes us in our seat. Sensing the weight of the pelvis, the weight of the elbows. And just notice. Notice where you feel suspension as opposed to gravity. Noticing the space behind the diaphragm and the rib area, or maybe the throat, maybe the arches of your feet and hands. Sensing where your soma is experiencing the breath. Is it up high in the chest or in your throat? Is it low? You don't have to force it to change. It may change naturally. Sensing the simplicity of the rise and fall without getting involved in it. Noticing that when we bring our attention to something naturally, the human wants to get involved. But what if we don't? What if we just observe? staying in the body, sensing the gravity, sensing the suspension. There's many, many, many sensations that we experience in the body. Most of them go unnoticed, but some of them are very loud. And the more time we practice using this part of the brain, the sensory motor cortex, the more subtleties will begin to reveal themselves. So as we're just starting our somatic practice, just know that it cultivates and it keeps enriching like all the other practices that you participate in. Take a nice cleansing breath. And audible exhale. Let's do that two more times. Inhale. And audible exhale. Whatever sound your soma feels like making today, that's an expression of what's happening for you today. Inhale. And let it go. Okay. So we'll just slowly open our eyes. And even though we open our eyes and now our senses begin to look outward and we're about to receive some information, I encourage you to just try to stay within your body as well. And just try to keep a little piece of your awareness on your soma, what's happening internally inside for you, without any kind of judgment at all. So today, I do these free free workshops periodically to introduce different aspects of my work. I know there's many of you on the call that are very familiar already with my work in the member circle or in my classes. And so I'd like to introduce what it means to awaken somatic intelligence. What benefits does it have? Like, why do we even want to do this? What to expect from it? And we'll be doing a little talking, and then I would love to get into a little bit of a physical movement practice. And don't worry, you don't need any props. You don't need any level of physicality. You can do some of it sitting, and some of it will be lying on the ground. The only thing that I encourage is that your environment is warm, that it's not going, that it just feels that your environment will not distract you. So no drafts, no busy traffic. After we do the physical practice, I'll also be sharing, I am doing a full day of this somatic work in February, a full day retreat for 5 hours. And I wanted to share a little bit about the details of that and the theme of that workshop, which will be focusing on rejuvenation and nourishment of the psoas. And we'll go into a little bit about why I chose that and how in love I am with the psoas. And of course, there'll be time for questions, and you can always write to me as well. So somatic, what does that word even mean? It means basically from the inside out, that we are moving in under our skin and into the fluid system of the fascia. We are composed of a lot of water. When we hold stress and tension in the body, we block. We create blockages in that fluid system, and it creates sticky fascia. Other interruptions of the fascia could be scar tissue from surgeries, lifestyle habits. Most of us are either right side or left side dominant in our movement patterns. So over time, we tend to create imbalances in the muscle because of the way we are using our bodies. Through the work of somatic, one of the most amazing benefits, you know, we often think that the aging process has to be degenerative. And when we awaken the somatic intelligence in the body and we awaken our awareness of how we are moving our bodies, that aging process does not have to be degenerative. It can actually be regenerative. So through the work, we explore our movements and we explore right away, you will sense different areas of the body that are holding chronic tension. Sometimes we're aware of it and sometimes we're not aware of it until we go searching. Similar to when you have a massage, sometimes the masseuse will go in and you'll be like, whoa, I didn't even know I was holding tension there. So when you hold tension in the body, chronic tension truly lends itself to the muscle falling asleep because the tension does not allow the muscle to contract and release and contract and release. So the tension over time creates a muscle amnesia. So the muscle basically turns off. It is not uncommon. One of the most common places in the body that the muscles turn off is in the glutes. And that is because we are sitting a lot of the day. And when we sit, we don't use them, so they fall asleep. And our glutes are our biggest stabilizer. So then if they're asleep and they're not intentionally turned on through some sort of activation, sometimes it goes on simply with just walking around or doing a squat or two or doing some movement, but sometimes it doesn't. Or maybe you had hip surgery and you have scarring in there, or you have some sort of abdominal surgery and the scarring has created an interruption. So what happens is your body will move. It's very intelligent, but it will compensate in other areas. And then this is what starts to happen in the quote unquote aging process, in the sense that, and through our habits as well of having a strong right side or left side dominant or one-sided sport, what happens is that then the fascia starts to pull on the skeletal system. And so that lends itself to joint injuries, ligament tears, tendon tears, and just interruptions in the way the spine undulates and moves and the way energy is flowing through your system. So when we awaken the somatic intelligence, when we start to cultivate this work, what we're doing is going into that fascia. You could almost think of it from a mechanical, biomechanical point of view as fascia therapy. You are engaged in participating in your own wellness and you learn how to be in your body differently, because when we awaken this natural innate body's intelligence, right? We've all heard that the body can self-align, self-heal, self-regulate. It can, but we have to get out of the way in the sense of being unconscious with the way that we move, the way that our thinking, the way that our life affects our physical human system here. And when I say that I'm a somatic, I'm acknowledging that I'm not separate parts. The word soma is a Greek word. Its literal translation in English means body. But here in our world, in the Western world, we sort of took the body and made it an object. We sort of took the soul out of it and the way that we approach healing. And a lot of us in the healing arts, not necessarily so, but this is the paradigm shift that we're starting to try to create. This acknowledgement that we are a mind, a body, a nervous system, and you cannot separate them. And the mind will affect the body will affect the mind, the nervous system. There's no tearing it apart. And So there's an acknowledgement here that we are a living, breathing, consciously and consistently evolving system. We're a system. The fascia is a system. It's not like I have fascia on my shoulder that's not going to affect the fascia in my ankle or anywhere else. The fascia is a total, you can think of it as like a big sweater that you have over your entire body and internally as well, all around all of the organs. So if there's an interruption with a scar or a chronic tension or a holding or a trauma, you get a snag in your sweater. And so it forms a knot. And then you go to move, the body will move because it's brilliant. It will always allow you to move, but it will compensate. It will start to pull because that snag can't move. So other things will get pulled on. So one of the benefits, one of the major benefits that I've experienced through this work is that the release of chronic pain and stress in my body allows me to just be in the world completely differently. I'm a nicer person when I don't have pain in my body. I can focus on the things that I want to do here on earth. So the pain is not distracting me and taking up my energy. And we can participate in this healing process by involving ourselves in this work and igniting that body's intelligence that we all have. The other major benefit that I feel this work does is that it totally allows us to shift the focus inward and stop comparing ourselves to everyone else. We all have an individual system. We all have our own heart's desires and our own heart's yearnings. Those are ours. And when we go inside and connect into our fascia, into our bones, we can begin to sense and remember like who we really are. Not should I be living this way because someone else is living that way, or this is the ideal or that is the ideal. It's what feels good for me. What feels good in my body, in my fascia, in my mind, and how do I connect my heart and mind to release the cultural conditioning that we all experience, right? We all have, and as we evolve and we keep getting more intelligent and more technology-based, and we spend less and less time outside, we lose this sense of the human experience and the beauty of it. And I'm not saying all one way is better and all one way. It's about balancing out and coming back to who we really are and keep checking in and connecting with ourselves, with our body, with our beautiful psoas, and our sense of our connection to Earth. To connect again to Mother Earth is always, I think a lot of us innately know this. That's why we go outside and we feel better. We feel the sun, we feel the ground, hugging a tree, grounding ourselves in Mother Earth automatically allows our soma to self-regulate. And our body has this ability to self-regulate. However, when we leave our center and are totally in our heads, we don't self-regulate. We get anxious, we get nervous, we get depressed, we get all kinds of imbalances of regulation. But we do have this ability to come back to ourselves. And that's the beauty that I have found with this work of going in through the body to regulate. And as I soften and release my tension, automatically my body self-aligns. And that's another beautiful benefit that our somas have. We can self-align. The bones will find their home. Everything will find its space. And in that self-alignment, what's happening? My lymphatic system is now working easier. My circulatory system is now working easier. And now everything is coming into a more harmonious homeostasis. And it's just a beautiful way to be on the earth, in our bodies, and with each other. When we connect to ourselves and own what's happening inside for ourselves, we show up more authentically as well. And this is how we create very authentic connections as well. So the work starts with hydration. We will do some micro little movements to aliven and awaken the fascia, to feel what's moving and what's not really moving. And it's not like we're going to solve any huge issues today, but this is the beginning of the practice in order to get our energy to move. We'll focus on some areas that I know that are normally asleep for some people, like the low back and in the hip area and in the pelvis area, to sort of awaken that. And then we'll move into a little bit of a somatic meditation with breath work. And then I'll share with you a little bit more. Actually, I'll talk a little bit now why I chose the psoas for the day retreat. I know a lot of you are very familiar with my work. And this full day retreat is 5 hours. Not consistently, obviously, we'll take some breaks. It takes a while to drop down. The psoas, why did I choose the psoas? The psoas is the center of our being. The psoas is the muscle that holds your leg to your spine, right? So it starts at T12 and it's attached to itself on the inside of your spine. So it's not on your back. It's as deep into the core as you can imagine going, right? It's behind all your organs. And because it's attached to the interior part of the spine and it flows down through your pelvis, comes out through the pelvis through the front. Some of you have heard of the iliopsoas, which is part of that psoas system. And then it literally connects your leg to the spine. It's why we walk. However, since it is in the center of our being and neurologically, the psoas is connected to the most primitive part of our brain, to the part of our brain that allows us to feel safe and grounded on the earth. It literally is the animal body. In order to sense the psoas, we are using that back brain and allowing ourselves to try to sense into the deep, juicy, hydrated, plump, buoyant tissue of the psoas. They call it the filet mignon of the body. And we, ideally, we want a very juicy, hydrated psoas. And we are literally redefining what strength means. Because some of us think of our bodies or parts of our muscular system, any of our soft tissue, we're looking for strong or weak. But that paradigm is changing. A healthy tissue, a healthy psoas is responsive and resilient. Meaning, when I go to walk, I want it to respond. I want it to wake up. When I'm not using it, I want it to let go. The psoas in Taoism, they call it the muscle of the soul. And that is because since it is neurologically wired into the very primitive part of the brain, it is also the part of the body that responds to all of the stress and trauma that we have ever, that our brains have ever experienced. Memories are stored in the psoas. Trauma is stored in the psoas. And when we breathe into it. And I know a lot of chiropractors and massage therapists, they'll try to manipulate it or adjust it. And through my training, it's really been shown to me and taught to me that we don't want to manipulate and pull on and yank on the psoas, because it responds to all of the startledness of our nervous. Like if we get startled, the psoas does this. If the psoas is not responsive, it means it's exhausted. It means it's been pulled on or called to stabilize the column of the vertebra a little too much. So it gets exhausted, or maybe there's trauma in there. It gets exhausted. So it gets limp, and then the other side gets overly responsive, right? And so it's not a strong or a weak psoas, it's responsive and resilient. This is how we want to start changing the language in order to really be in this relationship with our body and to understand how it is, everything is totally connected. The psoas, not only but mechanically, is it sits very deep in the center of our being. So think of that mechanically, what that does. It will determine how we use each hip, how gravity falls into each knee and ankle. So how it feels on our sacrum, is the psoas pulling on the sacrum and changing the position of the pelvis so that it affects the low back? And then not only from the center down, all those extremities down, but from the center up. Because the psoas starts like an empire waist, starts all the way up here. So if I go to move my arm and my upper psoas, it starts up here, it's constricted. I'll move my arm and I will arch my back. And now my arm is no longer supported by my core. So that affects shoulder usage and neck usage. So there's so much with the psoas. It's impossible to try to explain it here. I'm doing my best, but that's why I chose to do a full day retreat, because it's endless. And not only on a mechanical level, but like I said, on that soul level. And it brings us into that animal body where all our cultural conditioning is, all the memories are. And in order to drop down that deep into the center core of our being, takes time. It just takes time and practice, and we'll be in an environment with other like-minded people where everyone is dropping down. So our energies will support each other. So I hope I did a good job with that. I'll take a question or two. I do want to get to the physical practice, but if anyone has a question, please raise your hand and I'll be glad to address anything. You can either unmute yourself right away. I'm looking to see if, because some people don't know how to mechanically raise their hand, and that goes into if you, okay, there are a few people, 3-4 people raising their hand here. Okay, so Andrea, if you could lower your, if you could unmute yourself.
Hi there. Thank you. Just thinking about the connection with, I have a hiatal hernia.
Hiatal hernia?
Yes, exactly. And I think that's totally connected with the start, where the psoas starts and affects a lot. So if you can talk what that implication has.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure probably here for you. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's behind that is the beginning of the psoas. So as you soften in through here, now, you know, I have had that once before, and I literally had someone like push it back in. Wasn't a very comfortable situation, but it was because I was always doing push-ups and I was always, you know, going out with my chest, and the pressure that I felt there. Basically, I caused my own pain, like most of us. And so to soften the restricted upper psoas, and we will be doing a lot, you know, the whole day will be upper, lower, all kinds. Yeah. So that's something that you can't, I wouldn't recommend forcing. It's really an indication that that is your will center, and that's where your impulse to move is probably coming from. So I would explore that and how you're moving and just that sensation that you always feel there, and just keep bringing your awareness there.
Thank you so much.
Sure. David?
Hi. Two questions. One is about how closely is the vagus nerve linked into the psoas? And the second does it tie into the quadratus lumborum area at all, or is it sort of separate from that?
No, it runs all through it. Yeah, absolutely. Because you have two psoas, right? Because we have two legs. You can think of it as two rivers that want to converge down into the pelvis, coming out the front of the pelvis and going down. Really, the energy of the psoas. The psoas actually, yes, stops in the front, in the iliopsoas area, in the front hip flexors. But the energy of the psoas goes all the way down to the foot. So yes, it goes right through the QL. If your QL is bothering you, if it's chronically tight, your psoas is chronically tight. It can't, they're like back to back with each other. And the vagus nerve, yes, runs all through the center line. So very much connected. And that polyvagal response that we all have to stress, it's all neurologically tied in to the same. They run so parallel to each other. So it's hard to discern. It's not like one or the other. You know, if one's inflamed and irritated and pulling, it's obviously going to affect its neighbors.
So would doing breath work for vagal tone, would that help your psoas then?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Sybil, question?
I have a labrum tear on my left hip, and I have some tissue degeneration in the lower back. So I'm kind of wondering. I have been doing Feldenkrais because of movement restrictions and things like that, and that has helped. And do you think your workshop might help with that, because
it will be more practice. You know, Feldenkrais was one of the founding fathers of somatic work. The theory of Feldenkrais is very much a part of somatic intelligence. Okay. So it will be very, very similar for you. And I imagine with that exploration of that condition, you understand your own limits and you can feel a lot. So you'll be able to keep yourself safe. But it will be more practice of hydration, which if there's a tear there, you need that hydration. We'll also be exploring more biomorphic type movements, where just to feel and sense the body in a biomorphic way in order to get a little bit more in touch with the inner yearnings of our soma. So it'll be some... I would say biomechanical work, but then as the day goes on, as we all fall deeper in, it'll become a little bit more subtle work and esoteric in the sense of moving in a way that our animal body remembers.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. March Galaxy.
Hello there.
Hi.
It's Marg, short for Margaret.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's all right, don't worry. I have a lot of trouble walking, particularly up and down stairs and slopes, which might or might not be due to arthritis in legs and hips, and my feet hurt when I walk all the time. And recently I've had what seems to be like sciatic pain down, particularly the right side of the body. Particularly giving pain behind the right knee and up the back of the right leg. Is this something that could help with those conditions?
You know, without really examining you, obviously, I mean, I know the work with the psoas And I wouldn't be so, I think what the SOAS workshop will give you is the story of how your right and left side balance each other out. And sometimes when you say that the pain is on one side, we, that signal of the pain, we often think that's where the problem is. But with the work, you might find out that really it's the other side. You know what I mean? And you'll be able to get the story of how your pelvis is balancing or not balancing or where the restrictions are, so that you don't only focus on the pain. You know, we are, that's one of the paradigm shifts that happens as we explore this work, is that we really start to feel how the body is a system and how there's checks and balances, because the fascia is not separate. It's interconnected everywhere. So the pain may be on the right side, but maybe because the right side's doing all the work of the left side, you know, maybe the left side. So I think the work will allow you to explore that yourself. So, and that's really one of the major benefits of the work, is that you go inside, you connect, and you get your own answers. You know, it's very hard for a practitioner or a doctor to really understand what's happening for you, because they're not inside your own skin. You, when we awaken that ability to sense, we become our own healers. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, I think it would give you a bigger picture.
Okay, thank you.
Sybil, I mean, you just didn't mute again. Okay, is there anybody else? I want to get to the physical practice. We're right on time. I see there are some chats. Let me just take a moment in here. Thank you, Ruth. My thoughts on energy healing. I absolutely love energy healing. George is asking my thoughts on energy healing. And I think that when we can sense and feel our energy, we can be our own energy healers. Energy moves in the body, or there's blocks. Those blocks are in the fascial system. If I can sense those blocks, I can help clear it, right? It's an invitation to relax deeper where we feel the restrictions and the blocks. For those of you that took my psychic vulnerability course this last fall, we explored how feelings are in the body, how to process our emotions, which are basic vibrations, through the body, so that we don't have to get all caught up in the head about it. There's a story, there's always a very valid story, but there's also part of that trauma story or part of that cultural conditioning that the memory is in the body. And if we can go in through the body, it's another avenue. It's not the only or the best, it's another option. And some people connect very well with their bodies. And basically what we're doing with somatic intelligence is we are maturing our kinesthetic ability. Right? That's what we're doing. We're growing and maturing that ability that we all have. Carpal tunnel syndrome. Can this workshop help carpal tunnel? I think with the carpal tunnel, it's part of the fascial system. Will I target directly carpal tunnel? No. Will we hurt it? No. But we will understand how the whole fascial system works in an interconnected way. So it could help, because through the work and the explorations of how we use our arms, you don't know. Maybe the carpal tunnel is being created because of the way the arm bone is aligned in the socket. So it could very well help, but I can't really make that promise. But the usage of our limbs and how they are attached in the core, and we explore the movement of those limbs, you will have the ability to sense if your wrist and elbow joint are getting pulled out of whack because of the way your shoulder is operating in the capsule. So I hope that's helpful. Can I speak to surgery and scars? Yes. Surgery, Myra, you ask about surgery scars, it's a very long answer, but the short answer is that they are interruptions in the fascial system. So we will be addressing that through the process of hydration. And we're going to do a little bit of hydration here now. Scars, they go deep, and it doesn't matter how old they are or how superficial they are. They're interruptions, and that we can address them. And sometimes it's a constant maintenance of them. It's not like a one and done, I'm going to hydrate, it's going to be good. You know, some of us with deep abdominal surgeries, those scarrings, they run deep. Oh, sorry. This is a good question, Henry. Thank you. Hydration. What does that mean? Hydrate. Yes, drinking water, but that's not really what I mean. Hydrate through micro movements, micro little rocking, slowly sliding the soft tissue around through micro undulating, spiraling motions through the soft tissue, because you don't want to just go to the area of pain. You want to go what's around it as well, especially if you have, you know, serious pain. You don't want to dive right into that. Your nervous system will get too unnerved, and then you're kind of back where you started from or worse off. You want to sense around what's happening and try to hydrate around. Think of a bunch of gold chains that get all bunched up. You have to loosen all around it before the center starts to pull apart. And that's how you want to think of a scar and interruptions. Okay. Yes, I can feel the twitching muscles. Wonderful. All right. So let's dive in to the physical practice. We have a few moments, but we'll see how far we can go. And then I'll jump on and answer any other questions. So all you're going to do, you can be seated in a chair or you could be seated on the floor. I'm going to sit on the floor, but that doesn't mean you have to. If you are seated on the floor, if you'd like to sit on something that elevates your hips, a little bit higher than your knees, because if you're like this, you're negatively stretching your low back, your QL. So David, be careful if you're sitting in a chair, sort of sit on the edge of your chair so that you can really lift through that low back instead of sitting in a rounded low back. This is not a healthy position. Another very easy way, because we can feel better with our fingertips. If you put your hand on your low back and you feel your spine and you feel how the spine has a gully, but yet if you round it, you feel the vertebra sort of pop out. You feel little bumps, right? That means that your spine is not engaged there. It means you're collapsed and you're putting negative undue pressure on your low back. So if you sit up, and you'll notice right away that you get a gully. Like when I work individually with somebody, I'll look at their spine, just where they are standing, and I'll notice where the indentations are very deep, like someone's like this, the indentation is very deep, or where is it sort of poking out the back. So I know that when I look at someone's spine like that, I can see where the spine activates and where it doesn't. We all have places, not all of us, I shouldn't say all of us, but some of us have spaces where one vertebra move as like four vertebra, right? So ideally we want the spine to move like a snake, one vertebra at a time, and it acts like that wave. It's a luscious, delicious feeling. So, and it's not to be rushed, right? You want to slow it down so that as you feel that undulation of each and every vertebra. And simply by doing this, simulating a wave, you're going to be able to tell. So let's start in a rounded sort of position. Just not pulling, not stretching, not hanging your head. Don't go for a stretch. You feel that you're on the back of your butt bones, right? If you can't feel that, rock a little bit on your pelvis so that you can feel, okay, I'm on the front of them. I'm right on top of them. Okay, now I'm on the back. So when you're on the back of them and you're in a rounded position, notice if you feel how your pelvis tucks underneath you, right? And then your low back starts to feel like it gets long, and automatically you'll go into this C curve. Now, slowly and mindfully sense as you start to stand the pelvis up, you stand it up to a neutral position and start stacking each of your vertebra one at a time, all the way up. It's not more is better. You just want a little indentation to know that you're able to move through that area of your spine. And then naturally, as you start getting all the way up to the top, it would be natural that you lifted your chin. Don't just lift your chin because you know that's where it goes. Now, from this position, a little bit of an arch, right? I want you to move the heart. Move the heart back and notice how bottom and the top of your spine follows. But don't lead just because you know where it goes. Keep drawing the heart back and stay mindful and patient enough to wait for the two ends to come together back into the C curve. And then when you're ready to go again, you're going to move from the heart. You start to bring the heart up. It will move the bottom and the top. Now, as you do this very simple little move, what you're sensing for is coherency. And basically what that means is that the bottom and the top arrive at their destination at the same time. It's not like your head goes further than your pelvis, or your pelvis continues to move and your neck and head don't. Or you may feel a restriction, and that's fine. Don't push it. Don't push it. And then go again, because a lot of times with repetition, it will naturally clear the little sticky part. And just enjoy this. Breathe. Big exhale as that heart moves back. And then slowly, patiently sense how when you move from the middle, the two ends respond. And you're going to let it. So make sure your jaw is loose so that you're not holding the neck. Relax your pelvic floor and just notice the freedom and the fluidity. And if you feel something sticky and a restriction, I would say stay there, soften, let it be an invitation to relax a little more or hydrate with micro little arching and curling, like you're trying to cajole it to move. It's a little cajoling. And the movements are so subtle because think about those vertebrae. They're very close together, right? So it's not a big move. You're trying to allow your focus to soften enough. Very common that when we can't feel a certain area, our minds get a little bit more intense, but that doesn't work. Go the other way. Soften your focus to articulate each little tiny little vertebra. And all you're doing is this little move that we're hydrating. That's it. Now come to a neutral position. You're not holding your breath to restrict motion, but just sit up as in neutral as you can. And notice if you feel like it's a little easier to sit up. Like you activated your muscles and now they're helping you sit up. Is anyone having an easier time? You feel a little lighter? You can give me a thumbs up or not thumbs up. Okay, good. Now we'll explore lateral motion, right? Because the spine goes laterally also. So when you move again from the center, I'm going to move my heart to my left, and I'm going to notice if my tail and my head go to the right. Now, I know I'm sitting, and there could be too much pressure on my lower spine, but just explore moving from the center and sensing your spine from the tail all the way up. And you're literally feeling that spinal column laterally bend, and you're sensing, you may get some adjustments. I would not pull. This is so gentle, especially if you know you have vertebra issues. Lateral movements. And now as you explore, you're going to hold your body to the right. So my heart's going to go left. I'm going to stay in a side bend to my right. Never to pain or strain. Try to ignite your side body muscles, your obliques, your low back. You can even draw your elbow down a little bit to get the muscles underneath your armpit area. 3 seconds, ignite. And then let it go and come back up. And wait. Pause. Let the brain register the contrast. Maybe you feel different from when you were sitting before. We only did one rep, so we're going to do it again. But in this pause is when we are allowing the muscles to unravel their chronic tension. Or to wake up. We want them to return to a state of buoyancy. That's a healthy muscle. So let's go again. Move your heart to the left, side bend to the right, and literally, do you have the mind-body connection to maybe 30% of your maximum? Engage, give a little squeeze, give a little squeeze, give a little squeeze to the neck muscles, and then that's it. Let it go. Come back to neutral, and we wait. So like already, I can feel a difference between my right side and my left side. Feels a little tingly, a little buoyant, a little waking up. Relax the elbow, maybe gravity. You sense gravity differently now. And then we'll go to the opposite side. So my heart, it's going to go to the right, and I'm going to side bend to the left. I'm just going to notice, okay, what does this side feel like? Before I impose any sort of contraction, what does this side feel like? Maybe it feels more congested or more bumpy or more lumpy or more tired, right? Exhausted. And then I'm going to come back up, and I'll wait. I'll give it a breath or two. Breathe into my body. And now this time we'll intentionally give a little contraction. So move from the heart, engage. So we call it ignition. The difference between a grip and an ignition is one has breath and one does not. So if you're gripping and suffocating yourself, there's no breath there, right? You'll hold your breath, you'll hold tension in your throat. Little squeeze, and then let it go. And come up, and wait, and breathe. Notice if your side bodies are helping you feel lifted. The obliques on the side, they help support, but we shouldn't have to hold our breath or keep pulling ourselves up. We want it to be buoyant. Right, and like, right, our psoas is all in here, nice and buoyant. We can do one more time. Heart goes to the right, side bend to the left. Little engagement. Lower back, oblique, ribs down to the pelvis. armpit down to the waist. Do the muscles on the side of your rib cage near your second and third rib ignite. And then how about the neck, right? Shouldn't feel like a neck stretch on the opposite side. It's an ignition of the muscles on the side of the neck. And then let it go and come back. And pause and wait. Now let's go back to that snake move, right? Round. And now come up one vertebra at a time, if your patience allows it, and undulate up like a snake. You're coming up, little arching. Each vertebra is coming alive and stacking and activating all the way up your spinal column, all the way down to the tip of the tail, all the way up to the back of the skull. And it's a gentle, nourishing type of move. And when you're ready to round again, it's from the heart going back. Breathe, soft focus, enter your fluid tissue. Just do that two times. Noticing if it starts to feel a little bit more buoyant, a little bit less effortful, and almost as if there's something inside of you that's coming alive and it's moving you. It's moving you. Surrender that much. Yeah, you're going through a movement. But the energy on this movement is that you're leaving space for something else to possibly move you. Two or so times, three times, and then sit in the neutral and just sense. Sensing maybe more of the subtleties that are now revealed. Remembering how we felt at the very beginning of the hour. What was the internal environment like, and what's the contrast? Just enjoy that. Releasing that search for, sometimes we look for things to be wrong. Try to let go of that and just sense what's actually here, and knowing that this is just where we are in our process, and that process is always happening because we are that living system. To close the practice, I always end with some gratitude. So let's take a big inhale up. Hands come up and rest in front of the heart, taking a moment to just remember a few things that we feel grateful for, allowing the body to soften so that every cell in your body receives the vibration of gratitude, so that we can smile on a very deep cellular level. All of the organs, all of the cells, lifting their vibration in an internal smile and releasing all the stress and dis-ease. Namaste. Thank you so much. And we'll just come to the, if anyone has any additional questions, I'll gladly stay on a little bit longer, but you will all be getting an email regarding the February 12th full day somatic retreat. So I hope to see some of you there. And Sandra says, thank you, thank you, thank you all so much. Thanks, Lisa. Any other questions? I think we're, I don't see any hands. Oh, Alan Gunther, is that?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm 82 and I have some upper back issues and I'm beginning to have some arthritis in my knees. So could the psoas work help with this?
Yes, because the work is very gentle, and with arthritis, we have to be careful because if you go too aggressively, it inflames it and irritates it, but you have to move. Yes. Right. So there has to be movement in order to move the energy so that things don't keep getting stickier and stickier. And so you will learn to move in a way that's very gentle and hopefully increase the energy to move through your system.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And it will just introduce a new way to be in relationship with your body. So that, because with arthritis, it's a management, right? It's, yeah. So it'll be a way that you can, there'll be a lot that you could take away to practice on your own.
Wonderful. And did you give the times on the 9th of February?
It's 11 to 4 Eastern Standard Time.
Good. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you all so much. I'm just so thrilled because the somatic work is not mainstream and I want it to be mainstream just because it's such great work. And it's just so encouraging to see how many, we have 200 people sign up today. So that's another 200 people that are interested, and it's very encouraging. So thank you so much. Jackie, I'll stay on, and then Nina, I'll gladly stay on.
Hi, Susan. Thank you so much.
Hi.
I'm a yoga teacher, and when we do the spinal undulations gently, I tend to direct people to initiate from their navel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm feeling today moving from the heart center, and I would just be curious of your perspective on this. Sometimes I feel like when we move from the navel, that tight pelvic floors might be getting tighter, and the psoas may not like that as much. Can you speak to that for a moment for me?
Well, I'll speak it, my training around this moving. And I'm really sorry, I forget the name, but there was a study done where they literally watched people that had no legs move. And they studied how the spine locomoted through space. And what they discovered was that the movement came from the center, right from, you know, probably right, you can't pinpoint it exactly, but right in that area, and gentle, right? I mean, yeah, if I didn't have any legs, the movement would be a little bit more staccato-like, a little bit more violent, but it gave the indication of the movement from the center. And also the work of the psoas is based in embryology, meaning it's not based in the mechanicalistic view of looking at cadavers, which is dead tissue. The study is done through looking through an embryologist who studies a living being, right? And where does it grow out of, right? Where does the neurocore grow out of? So that's really what the work is based on. I don't know, I hope that helps.
Yeah, that helps a lot. Thank you.
Okay, great. Nina? Oh, you have to unmute.
There we go.
There you are.
Thank you. Your brilliance never fails to delight me. And that was awesome. That last question. What I was curious about is because I had other engagements that I couldn't get out of, I missed some of the classes from this fall. And I'm wondering how long will we have access to catch up on those missed sessions from that program?
Psychically Vulnerable course? Is that the course you're talking about? Oh, those are for life.
Yes.
Yeah, your connection is a little spotty. No, Miriam, as long as the Emergence Education website is in existence, those are available to you. They're in there for life.
Okay. And then I also had taken Feldenkrais course through the Shift Network. So I have that same thing happened with that. I took maybe three of the seven of them. Do you think it's worth going back and finishing those and then doing your course again? I mean, I'm going to just start from the beginning.
It's all about just the information. I don't think it's necessary. You know, with more practice, it's more practice.
Right. You know, I wasn't thinking it was necessary, but it would it be helpful if I did those first and then went back and redid yours from the beginning? Because I want to redo your program from the beginning as I catch. I don't want to just do the ones I missed.
Right.
I want to start from the beginning because it was brilliant. It was really brilliant.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, anything will be helpful because it's more practice and you're cultivating what you're doing when you're sensing is you are cultivating your connection to that part of the brain. So it's just like meditation, right? The more we do it, it's the same as meditation. It's the exact same, only you're going in through the body. And so the more practice, the more the body can drop down. Usually sometimes we can drop in easier with more practice. The only non-beneficial aspect of practice is that sometimes when we have a lot of practice, we go in with an expectation of what we think it should be. And in that sense, we lose the leaving space for the unknown and the possible. So, you know, sometimes when we think we know that, right? The ego mind automatically goes, oh, I know how to do this, right? And so in that aspect, we sort of lose vigor.
Fortunately, this is something I know nothing about.
Oh, perfect.
Because I'm such a heady person. So it's all new and it's all interesting. And I'm willing to be patient with it because it's all discovered. When you're all in your head all the time, it's not you. When I'm in my head all the time, and I'm an education junkie, every little bit is a discovery, and is written. That's why I'm loving this so much. I'm moved. I'm actually moved by what you're bringing. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Miriam?
I'll see you on the 11th.
All right, excellent. Miriam, I don't know if your hand was up from before.
Yes, yes it was.
You're good.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for this opportunity. Wow, when we were doing this thing with the cobra, and when we were like, you know, going forward and then to the center. Yes. I felt there was pain in my heart, like not the heart physical, but you know, where the chakra center part is. So I don't know what you would be able to advise me from there.
So my advice, like if anyone found any sort of, let's just call it an interruption, Miriam, like a block, right?
Okay.
So
yes.
It's an invitation to soften a little more. It's a doorway. Think of it as a doorway to go gently through and try to stay out of, like visions may pop up or images may pop up, but the danger is trying to stay, you don't want to get too heady about it and start making, just move through it. You know, it has to move through, it has to decharge in a sense. And even if there is a story attached to it or a memory or an image attached to it, you want to just get the energy to move. And then later on, like hours later or the next day, you may have an insight that has a different perspective.
Mm. I know I know there's a lot of stuff going in my life right now. And then I took a great fall just yesterday, the day before. I took a grand old fall And it was like my body is aching and pain here and there. So I don't know. It just seems like it was physical and emotional at the same time. But it's just, I like you said, trying to release whatever it was. I was just like, just trying to breathe through it, you know, and I don't know. It's just,
yeah,
it felt good. It felt good at the same time because it was like my body's letting me know there is where it is.
Right.
No.
Yeah. And I could just offer one more thing is to shift the word release to either dissolve or resolve.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. I truly appreciate you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Many blessings.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thanks, everyone. Thanks so much. I hope to see you on the 12th or in someplace else in the members circle. If you're there, I'm there. I do a somatic class once a month in the member circle as well. So otherwise, thank you all for your presence and your energy and your questions. Thank you. Bye-bye.